This morning we're going to get into our teaching that God gave us. It's called convergence. Now the word convergence is the occurrence of two or more things coming together. You two are not here by chance this morning. God wanted you to hear this. Listen closely to what God is saying. Now a convergence of, this is God speaking now, you know, this is his teaching. A convergence of two tales is upon my peoples. This convergence will unite the old and the young in a way that has never before been seen. All will know that this convergence is of me, and all will be able to grasp hold of what is going on. See what he said there? All will know that this convergence is of me, and all will be able to grasp hold of what is going on. It will be like the tale of two cities, and all will come upon this scene with foreknowledge of what I am doing in this time and in this season. Now, the word foreknowledge is knowledge of an event before it occurs. You guys are really specially blessed. You're specially anointed. And you guys are the ones that God is going to use for this convergence. And I don't care how old you are. Remember, God's been telling us for years. And even though I'm surprised at how older people get discouraged and say, well, God's finished with me. There's nothing I could do. And that's not true. Because the younger ones are coming up, do not have the wisdom and the knowledge. And God's going to use the old and the young together. And I've read, since God gave me this 2 weeks ago, I've read so many things about where God's talking about the old and the young working together. All right, foreknowledge is knowledge of an event before it occurs. Then God says, as my people begin to gather around the throne room for their daily instruction, much activity will begin to occur all across this land, and America will once again be known for their knowledge and skills in all facets of life. See, he says, as my people, that's you and I, begin to gather around the throne room for their daily instruction. In other words, you have to set before God each and every day to get your instructions for that day. And as you do it, much activity will begin to occur all across this land, and America will once again be known for their knowledge and skills in all facets of life. There will be no more grieving of the spirit, and I will be allowed free access into every home and heart. Isn't that awesome? You know, you guys are just being raised up to do things for God. We've already paved, us older people have already paved the way for you. And now you're just going to walk into the glory, and you know, and you won't have to do all the fighting we had to do. And God says the floodgates of heaven will be opened wide, and all that heaven has will be available for all to obtain. We picked the right picture, Nancy, wherever you're at. We had two pictures I was trying to decide which one to do. And I said, let's just go with the one we have. And so what did God say? The floodgates of heaven will be opened wide, and all that heaven has will be available for all to obtain. Do you hear this? The floodgates of heaven are open wide. We can go into heaven anytime we desire. And anything heaven has, we can have. God says the church will have come to her senses. Well, that's wonderful. Amen. And she will be about the Father's business, and the harvest will be gathered into the houses, and many souls will be brought into the kingdom of light. Many more souls will be brought back into the kingdom of light. These are souls that became too discouraged, and they could not believe any longer, and they gave up all hope because of lack of motivation to learn on their own. They were always dependent on someone else teaching them my word, when in fact I want each one to learn my word for themselves and then take it to the nations. This is where you're going to have to be very, very watchful of what's going on, because you're going to have false prophets and false teachers on the scene. They're going to take God's word all right, but they're going to twist it and manipulate it and they won't be leading people to Christ. They'll be leading people away from Christ. Do not cause others to rely on you to teach them all things, when my word is wide open to whomsoever wills. I hold nothing back from the hungry and the thirsty. In fact, I pour out my spirit upon whomsoever desires. Take a few moments right now to digest what I am saying, and do not draw away from me ever again. For I am for you and not against you, and I am waiting with open arms to share all of myself with each of you individually. Are you listening? You see, this walk is an individual walk, and all should look at it as such. No two are alike, and I so desire for individual communication with me. See that? You see, this walk is an individual walk, and all should look at it as such. No two are alike, and I so desire for individual communication with me. I was talking to Sister Nancy. We're trying to get a program together, and I'm very abrupt. I just say, boop, there it is. I said to her, see, this is what gets me in trouble all the time, but she's used to me, so it doesn't bother her. But that's just who I am. Yeah, that's what my earthly father taught me to be. Say what you mean and then shut up. And that's the way I am. All right, boom, there it is. This is what the way it is, and I don't have anything else to say, all right? So God said, my arms are always open wide to take you in and commune with you. My arms are never closed. I hope you're listening. This is all what God is saying. My eyes are constantly steadfast upon you to watch over you and make sure the enemy does not take you out with his elusive schemes. My angelic host has been given charge over you, and they shall continually be by your side to assist you in whatsoever manner they are needed. My angelic host has been given charge over you, and they shall continually be by your side to assist you in whatsoever manner they are needed. I'm trying to think of what this, somebody sent me an email yesterday and said that they had a vision of me, and the angels were all around about me, protecting me. And the enemy was trying to throw his darts between their heads, trying to hit me. But see what God says, my angelic host has been given charge over you. God is not going to let the enemy take you out. I don't care what he puts on you. He cannot take you out. The heavens are buzzing with excitement, and they are cheering you on because they know what is about to happen to you and all over this nation. See that? The heavens are buzzing with excitement, and they are cheering you on because they know what is about to happen to you and all over this nation. There will be days when you will feel like giving in to the pressures of life, but do not allow that to take place. Keep your eyes peeled upon me and know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is important that you digest this morning. God says, I am constantly and continually searching to and fro, looking for those who are in need, those who are in need, and those whom I need to send additional assistance to. For you see, the enemy fights some more than others. Now, did you understand what God just said here? I am constantly and continually searching to and fro, looking for those who are in need. And he's already saying, you know, Barbara needs a healing, all right? And those whom I need to send additional assistance to. All right, Barbara isn't being healed, so I'm going to send her additional assistance. See what he's saying here? For you see, the enemy fights some more than others, and that is very, very true, and you have to understand that. You know, you say, well, how come I'm being fought so hard and she's not being fought? It's your anointing. What level of anointing do you have? God said, at this given time, the enemy is trying to take out those with the highest calling, and the war in the atmosphere is raging over souls. The enemy is trying to take out those with the highest calling. And then he says, and the war in the atmosphere is raging over souls. In other words, if you have a strong anointing, you're going to bring in a lot of souls. So the enemy's trying to take you out before you save these souls. God said, my plans and my purposes will go forth one way or the other. Then Luke 14:16 said, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. This is talking about some many are called, few are chosen. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. God is finished with the church, in case you don't know it. He has done all he can. When he first called me into ministry 40 years ago, all I've been doing is ministering to the people sitting in the house of God. And they have been rejecting God's word over and over and over again. And God's told me and many others that he's left the church. And he's going out into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in. And if you have refused to minister for the Father, then he's going to go out there and get a drug addict and clean them up, and he's going to give them your mantle. That's just how it is. And only you know whether or not you have missed your calling on God. In Matthew 21:42 said, Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. In other words, you don't want God's anointing? Fine. He'll put it on. He'll give it to somebody else. You don't want to wear a mantle for him and do a job for him? Fine. He knows somebody else he can give that mantle to. You don't stop God. Acts 13:46, and Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, to the church first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. The church has rejected God, and now God is compelling us to go into the highways and the byways. Why do you think street ministries have started up? God's out there picking those that he knows that he can use to bring the good news to the lost and the dying. And you know, Sister Astrid's going to, we're going to have a Thursday night service, and she's going to, it's a Spanish. We're going to have a Spanish service on Thursday night. Isn't that awful? On Thursday nights, and we have a sign we put up. We have to fix it. It's sagging a little bit. But so Thursday night, 7 o'clock, she'll have her own ministry right here. It's a Spanish ministry, but anybody can come who wants to. And we don't have people that can tell you what she's saying in English. All right. So you just have to come and say, that sounds interesting. All right, God said, this is also a convergence of good and evil. My plan is, 1, for good to conquer over evil. 2, for the light to snuff out the darkness that prevails. 3, for signs, wonders, and miracles to be the norm in this dispensation of time. And 4, for my children to walk into the lion's den unafraid and tear the kingdom of darkness down. 5, for my children to walk in the revelation of heaven as Paul did and set the captives free from all bondages, no matter what the bondage may be. Now let's read that again. God's plan is, this is God speaking, 1, for good to conquer over evil. 2, for the light to snuff out the darkness that prevails. And 3, for signs, wonders, and miracles to be the norm in this dispensation of time. 4, for my children to walk into the lion's den unafraid and tear the kingdom of darkness down. 5, for my children to walk in the revelation of heaven, and I thought that was neat, as Paul did and set the captives free from all bondages, no matter what the bondage may be. I was just, as I was sitting, ministering to the Lord this morning, I said, God, why aren't we so anointed that the devil can't stand to be around us? You know? Why is it that when the devil walks into the room, he just comes in, sits down, and says, Hi. Instead of being afraid to even come in the room where we're at. Are you understand what I'm saying? God said, you see, children, I have this all planned out, and all you have to do is flow with my Holy Spirit and accomplish all that I lay before you to accomplish. There's my answer. All we have to do is flow with the Holy Spirit, right? The mandate has already been sent into the abyss to set my people free. Now all I need is for my children to believe me, shake off lethargy, be about the Father's business, and accomplish the impossible. You see that? He wants you to accomplish the impossible. For truly you are in the days of Elijah, and you shall see many miracles take place. And you shall see a company of prophets come upon this land that will hear my voice and only my voice, and they shall go forth with a word on their lips that will separate and divide the wheat from the chaff. Let's read that again. First of all, God wants us to be about his business and accomplish the impossible. Everybody in this room, either you're in your own life or you know somebody that has an impossible situation at hand. And if we really walk in the true, full anointing of God, as we pray, that impossible thing will become possible. And you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles take place. Then, for truly, you are in the days of Elijah, and you shall see many miracles take place. See that? And you shall see a company of prophets come upon this land that will hear my voice and only my voice, and they shall go forth with the word on their lips that will separate and divide the wheat from the chaff. And Luke 9:57 says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, once you've said, Lord, here I am, use me, and then you start looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. God goes on to say, this company of prophets have sold themselves out to me totally and completely, and they know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no retreating back into the shadows of yesterday. Now, you call yourself a prophet, but let's read this again. This company of prophets have sold themselves out to me totally and completely, and they know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no retreating back into the shadows of yesterday. Now, you know who you are. Now, are you truly a real prophet? Are you truly just walking with God and doing what God's telling you to do and not looking back at what you had yesterday? You know, if you're really a true prophet of God, if you're really a true child of God, and, you know, you're supposed to be sold out to God, then God's going to be able to use your voice at any given time that he wants to. And he'll also say things you wished he wouldn't say through your lips. Amen. But that's just how God works. And many things I say that I think, why did I say that? But I know why I said that. It's because God wanted to say it. He just pops it out there. Because he knows me. I try to digest it before it comes out. So he just puts it out there. All right. And see, you can walk that close to God where he just speaks through you at any given second. And that doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord. Just like I come up here a couple weeks ago and I said, you know, women just need to keep their mouth shut. And I thought, why did I say that? But I know now why, because these women in the White House, they're saying things that are terrible. And this is who God was talking about. I said, when that came out, I said, well, some people are going to leave the church. They did. They don't even understand the things of God. You know, if I'd say, why don't women just shut up? But then I'm a woman. So I would have to sit down and shut up, right, if I was judging women. How close are you walking with God is my question to you this morning. All right, so then God said, this company of prophets have sold themselves out to me totally and completely, and they know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no retreating back into the shadows of yesterday. They know from whence they came, and they shall go forth with hope for the forsaken ones, and they shall teach them of my ways, and they will take the love of heaven with them, and that love will compel them to come into my houses of refuge. And there they shall be healed, and there they shall get to know the Father who loves them and will never leave nor forsake them. See, this is why God had, now I know why God had you blow that over us this morning, that we know who we are in Christ. Because he said here, they will know from whence they came, and he's trying to get embedded in us before we even heard the message, who we are in Christ and where we really came from. All right. God was talking about the houses of refuge. And then he goes on to say, number one, in these houses of refuge that I have already set up all across this nation, they shall be taught the entire truth of my word and my ways, and no half-truth shall proceed from these houses of refuge. Second thing is, these houses will be hospitals to the lost, dying, and hurting. And the third thing is, these houses will be places of refuge that the hurting can run into and be healed. Four, these houses will be places where Jesus, the cornerstone, is in full and complete charge of all things. Five, these houses will emanate the love of Christ like none other. Six, these houses will have the glory cloud in them, and all will know they stand in a place of holiness. I have these houses of refuge scattered all across this land, and I have taken them through the furnace of affliction over and over again until they came out as pure shining gold. We have a sign out there that says house of refuge. I don't know how many years ago God said put a sign up in your door. We put it up there out of obedience to God, and now I know why he did that. Are you understanding that? So when God asks you to do something, just do it. Just like this sign. I didn't know what this was all about when he told me to buy it and put it up, but I do now. We just have to listen to be obedient to what God's telling us to do, and then eventually down the road, God will explain things to us. So anyhow, these houses of refuge, I have taken them through the furnace of affliction over and over again. Haven't we been through that furnace over and over and over again since we put that sign up there? Until they came out as pure shining gold, so I think we must have passed some sort of test, right? Come on, they hadn't taken the sign down yet. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Convergence, that is the word we are hearing this day. This is all God. That is the word I want to resound in your ears all day long. That is a word that will bring my complete will to pass in your lives and in this nation. That is the word that I have been so desiring to speak to you about for quite some time now. Yes, I spoke of this word in the past years, but now is a time for this convergence to come to fruition. Now is a time when all will eat of the fruit of this word and carry it to the lost souls that are being held captive. And the word convergence is the occurrence of two or more things coming together. So what is coming together? God said it would be like a tale of two cities. So I looked it up. All right. Dickens' famous opening sentence introduces the universal approach of the book, the French Revolution and the drama depicted within. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Now, see, God said it would be like the tale of two cities, so let's look at that as what we are now. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity, doubt, and that word means doubt about the truth of something, and isn't that where we're at? It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness. It was a spring of hope, it was a winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the highest degree of compassion only. So the tale of God said in the beginning it was going to be like the tale of two cities. So when I looked this little thing up, this is what it was. And isn't that where we're at today? Exactly like it. Isaiah 42:6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. And Luke 2:32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And God said, children, this is a journey of a lifetime. And some of you have been crying out to me to bring this about. Well, here it is now. What are you going to do with it? You know, in Acts 1:8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We have the Holy Spirit, but what's going to come upon us is the glory cloud of God. And everybody's going to know that we walk in that glory cloud. And everybody's going to see the power and the authority that we have within us. And that is what's going to draw them to the cross. Not what you say, but they're going to see the fruit. And they're going to see the glory cloud. You can say a lot of things and bear no fruit. But if you're just walking with God every day. And I'm going to tell you, right now is really a hard time to stay walking with God. You know, it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. But if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you're not going to give in to this thing that the enemy is trying to do to you. You're going to stand your ground. And you're just going to know that you know that you know that your God is in full and total and complete control. And there isn't anything that the enemy can do to destroy you. Nothing. He can throw all the weapons of warfare he wants at you, all those fiery darts, but that doesn't mean he can take you out. God's told him many times, he'll take you through hell and back more times you care to go, but he cannot kill you. So I keep telling him, you can't kill me. You know, God said, you can't kill me. See, and I stand on that. He'd try to take my life. You can't kill me. So what has he told you? You have to stand on what he's told you. Do you know what he's told you? Do you really know what he's told you? Mark, God is saying to you, I didn't tell you to marry. I told you to be still and know that I'm God. I told you that I'm all that you have need of. Quit trying to do something that I'm not going to do. Adjust your life to my life. Be at peace with yourself and know that I'm in full and total complete control. Get out of that mindset that you're in right now. And trust me, I know what you have need of, son. And I know what you don't have need of. Be content in the state that you're in. And just follow me. Am I in charge of your life or am I not? You tell me I am. Well then, son, quit trying to get me to bend to your will. And let me have my full and complete will in your life. There are days of happiness, true happiness coming, but only as you sell it out to me 100%. That goes with all of us. You know, we have to sell it to God. That might be in this evening's message you gave me, out to God 100%. We can't hold anything back for ourselves. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. See, if you're always all concerned about your happiness, your well-being, you know, what about me, Lord? Then you don't have the full knowledge of what you're really doing on this earth. You're not here for your good pleasure. You're here as a servant of the Most High God, a vessel of honor that he can work through to do the works that he needs done on this earth. What does the devil work through? People. Why does he do that? Because that's how God works. But see, God's children can't quite seem to grasp that knowledge. They can't grasp the knowledge of why they are here. And that is why the enemy can keep taking you around and here and God say around that flagpole around and around over and over again, because you're still trying to be yourself when you're really not yourself. You belong to God 100%. That's what he says, but you don't say that. You keep holding on to those things. It's so easy to beset you. Let go of them this morning. And God said, children, this is a journey of lifetime, and some of you have been crying out to me to bring this about. Well, here it is. Now, what are you going to do with it? The convergence of a whole lot of things. We're going to see a lot of things come upon this earth. Are you steadfast enough to endure everything that's coming our way? You have to be strong. You have to be steadfast. You have to be sold totally and completely out to God. The altar is open for you who want everything God spoke about here this morning.